All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 8. Our subject is knowing the Father. Our Lord is speaking here, and He had said in verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then the Pharisees said, you bear record of yourself, it's not true. And he said a few things, then he looked down, let's pick up sort of where we left off. He spoke of judging, and he said in verse 16, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law. They were always boasting of their law. Here he is, the one that gave it, and he says, it's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. Now watch the, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? You notice here, they didn't even respond to him saying, you shall die in your sins. They didn't give that a thought. The Lord looked them in the eye and said, you're going to die in your sin. And they didn't even respond to that. They didn't think they were sinners. They didn't think they were sinners. They were more concerned about convicting him. And they said this, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Now you notice here he keeps repeating the Father. I and the Father. If you know me, you know my Father. And he keeps repeating, I and the Father are one. There's no salvation without knowing God the Father. There's no salvation without knowing the invisible God. And there's no knowing God who is spirit, who is invisible. There's no knowing him but by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only through faith in him that we are saved. It's only through faith in Christ that we're saved. But believing Christ, we know the Son, Christ, and we know the Father. And believing Christ, we believe the Father. He will have all men to honor the Son. He'll have all men to honor His Son. It pleased Him to give His Son all preeminence. And He's going to have every sinner bow the knee to His Son and confess Him to be all in His salvation, all in the salvation of His people. And those that He doesn't give grace to bow in this world, in this day of grace, when they meet Him, they're going to bow and confess He is exactly who He said He is. That's partly what He was getting at when He said, when you have lifted Me up, I've finished My work and I've risen, I've called the last one, you're coming to Me and you're going to know I am that I am. They said to Him in verse 19, where is thy father? This was a sneer. They thought the Lord Jesus was illegitimate. They didn't think He was born of a virgin. And this was a sneer. Where's your father? And Jesus answered, ye neither know Me nor My Father. If you had known Me, you should have known My Father also. Now think of that simple statement. That means if you know Christ, you know God. If you know the Lord Jesus, you know God. He said, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sin. Believing Him, we're saved from our sin, and knowing Him, believing Him and knowing Him is knowing God. It's knowing God. This knowledge is not a matter of book learning. It's not something we can get just studying a book. It's not knowledge that a preacher can give. This is knowledge, this is divine revelation. It's knowledge only the Spirit of God can give us in the heart and make us really know Him and know He's life. He's life. He is salvation. If I have Him, I have life. He has to give this knowledge in the heart. It's not just a head knowledge. It's not just a knowing facts. It's knowing Him. It's really knowing Christ. And the Spirit gives us this. Look over at John 16. He said in John 16:13, verse 8. He said, the Spirit's coming. Verse 8. When He's come, He will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, and therefore I said that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. This is a knowledge that only the Lord can give us. The Spirit of God has to guide us into this truth. And the Father bore witness of Him. He said, My Father bears witness of Me. He did it on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, this is My Son, hear Him. He does it through the Spirit. But this Word is what? The Scriptures are the Word of God. And every word in this book, from cover to cover, there's one message, and it's the message of Christ. It's speaking of Christ Jesus, the Son of God. They are they which testify of Me, Christ said. Now, why is this so important? Our Lord has given us something simple here, just simple statements, but this is life. This is the all-important thing He's telling us here. To know God, we must know Christ, His Son. And to be saved from our sin, we must believe on the Son the Father has sent. You can't believe Christ. Well, a man can't believe God without believing the Lord Jesus. The Jews were claiming they believed God, but they didn't believe Christ. And you can't believe God without believing His Son, the Lord Jesus. And there's no knowing the invisible God except by knowing His Son. He says here in verse 19, they said, "Where's thy Father?" And He said, "You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also." He said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." That's just amazing to think about. God, invisible, God who is spirit, God who is overall, walked among us. It would take God giving you this understanding. If He stood there, I mean, if a man just came into your midst and said, "He's the Christ," nobody would believe Him. And rightfully so. There were many that came claiming to be Christ. And what we see in these Jews, with all the knowledge they had and all the understanding of the Old Covenant law and all the ceremonies they were engaged in, God has to give us faith. God has to give us this knowledge. We won't know Him. And there is no knowing Him except He give it. He has to get the glory for this. "In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now, we have the advantage of having the Scriptures, and we have the advantage of seeing all the things He did. And we have the advantage of seeing Him go to the cross and see that He's risen again. But more than that, we have something they didn't have. You who believe Him have something these men didn't have. He's given you faith to see Him and believe Him. And they didn't have it. There's a lot in our day that look at these Scriptures and look at what Christ did and behold Him the same way these men beheld Him. They don't believe Him. They don't believe this is His Word. Think of the insanity of unbelief that you look at this world and all things created in it and would rather believe that the world just somehow came into being. And believe God is behind all this? That you'd rather just go through the life and live and die and say, "Well, I believe we just die like a dog," than to believe God and know there's an eternity awaiting and seek Him while He may be found? That's the insanity of our natural depraved heart. Men would just rather go through this world not thinking about God, not coming to hear the Scriptures preached, not having anything to do with Him, and die just hoping they're right, that there is no God. When you got all this mountain of witness that He's created in the heavens and in the earth and all the things that are coming to pass by Him, and men do not want to believe God. But you can take our Lord's life, take His whole life, and you see every attribute of the Father. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He rules all things. Our Lord Jesus Christ was omnipotent. So Psalm 104:3 says, "He layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind." And our Lord Jesus Christ came walking on the sea in the midst of that storm like a hurricane. He came walking on the midst of the sea calmly. And at His word, He stilled the wind and stilled the waves and made the storm to cease. He sent it. Of course He could still it. He's God. That's who He is. He's omnipotent God. We see His omnipotence right here in verse 20. We've seen this over and over. He spake these words, teaching them in the temple, flat out, looked them in the eye and said, "You shall perish in your sins." and nobody laid hands on him. Nobody touched him. You look at the sun in the sky. He said, I'm the light of the world. You look at the sun in the sky. The sun sets at the exact hour, the exact moment, every day that God ordained before the world was made. Every single day. It sets right when God ordained for that sun to go down on you and me. It's coming up on somebody else right at the time God ordained for it to come up. Every day is this way. Everything's working exactly according to His purpose. Well, the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus, He did not go to that cross and lay down His life until the exact hour appointed. And He is omnipotent to control everything about man until it's time for Him to lay down His life. We see in Christ omniscience. He knows all. He knows everything. He didn't have to have anybody to testify to Him of what was in men. He knew what was in the hearts of men. He said of Nathanael, before you ever came to me, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. He knows what's in the heart. He knows what's in the heart of His people, where He put His Spirit. He knows what's in the heart of every sinner. He knows. We're just naked before Him and open before Him, and He knows everything about us. That's a blessing if you're a child of God, because there's things you and I don't know about us. There's sin we don't know that we're sinning, that He's saving us from. He knows everything about us. We see in Him omnipresence. Omnipresence. He's God. He's God. While He was in this earth in a body, and He was one place at a time, but yet the Scripture says, this is what Scripture says of Him, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Even when He walked this earth, He never left the bosom of the Father, because He's God. He's God. And we see something of His omnipresence in the fact that that day, that night when He came to them in the storm, and they had not gone very far at all in that storm, but when He came into that ship, immediately they were on the other side. There's no way to explain that except for Him. He's holy, He's righteous, He's love, He's mercy, He's loving kindness. All the glory Moses saw in the mount when he beheld the glory of God, that's Christ. That's Christ. Hebrews 1:3 says He's the brightness of God's glory. He said, this is what He's telling. He said, I'm the light of the world. He's the brightness of God's glory. The express image of God's person. It pleased God that all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwell in Him. There He is, God. God who cannot be seen, God who is Spirit, is seen in this man, Christ Jesus, and walked here among us. He said there in verse 23, I'm from above. I'm not of this world. It would take God giving you faith if some man said that to you. I am from above. I'm not of this world. He's holy as God is holy. He said, verse 29, I do always those things which please the Father. Holy as God is. Righteous as God is. He is perfect love. What He was doing was coming forth and loving a people that had no love for Him, that hated Him. The more He loved us, the more we despised Him, until He gave us a heart to love Him. And He was laying down His life for people that hated Him and despised Him. He's God. Verse 24, if you believe not that I am, He's that I am. He is I am. He's the one Moses beheld in the bush when he said, take your shoes off, Moses. This is holy ground. He is the I am. If you believe not that I am, if you believe not that the Son of God came in human flesh, you have died in your sin. He's God. He came down. He did what only God could do and saved His people. You want to know the Father? Come to know the Son. That's what he's saying. He said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And we have to be brought to believe on Christ because he came to save his people from our sin. He came to reconcile us to the Father. And it's only through faith in him that we have this free salvation. He said in verse 28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. He came to do the will of the Father. He came for this purpose. He took flesh and blood, and became the Son of Man for the purpose of being lifted up on the cross like that brazen serpent so that his people might look to him and live. That's why he came. He was born to die. That's why he came. He came to reconcile a people who were enemies in our mind to God, who hated God, and who God could not take into peace with him because of our sin. He came to reconcile us to God, to make peace between God in heaven and his sinful people on this earth. That's why he came. Look over at 2 Corinthians 5:18. He said, all things are of God. Everything is of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You take a people who's angry, who will not have anything to do with you, who hate you, who despise you, and who justly deserve to die. Consider now this love of God to send his only begotten Son for that people, for us, to bring us into friendship with him and reconcile us to him. That's what he came for. He's the Prince of Peace. He reconciled his people by putting away our sin, by bearing everything we deserve unto the death of the cross. And then he arose where he ever lives, and his very presence with God is the intercession that guarantees his people will always have peace with God. And not only this, he sends this gospel to us to tell us what he's done for us. Not only that, he gives us a life to believe him and brings us into peace. He's just not going to take no for an answer. He did everything and does everything in this thing of bringing us into peace. He said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. When the Sun of Righteousness arises in the heart, that's when we're going to behold the light. And that's when we have the faith and the confidence and the willingness and everything to come to him confessing what we are is when the light shines. You know, if you're in a dark room and there is no light on and there's a storm outside. Did y'all see this last night? There's a storm outside, and when it lightens, you could see it all in the house. You turn the light on, you don't see it in the house. When he turns the light on, he makes you to see. He's answered to the thunder and the lightning of God's wrath and settled justice for you so that you can have confidence now to come to him and cast it all on him and know God will receive you. He'll take you into peace with him. It's by him. Every blessing God has for His people is in Christ, and it's by Christ. He blessed us with all spiritual blessing in Christ. He made us accepted in Christ. Everything is in Christ. So there's no salvation without knowing God. We got to know God. We're going to have to know God's holy. He requires His justice to be satisfied. We got to know God's righteous. Righteousness we can't provide. We got to know God's merciful, that He will be merciful. We got to know how He can do that. Can He be just and merciful? We got to know how we can be at peace with Him. We got to know how He'll receive us. We got to know the way to come to Him. All that's answered. That's what He's saying. If you know Me, then you know the Father. When you know Christ, you know all about God and how He'll receive a sinner. Because He's done it all to make Him just and merciful, in perfect harmony to receive you. That's how you know. You know Him. You know Him. He said, "If look at John 14, and I'm going to end with this. John 14, and verse 7. Now, let's read verse 5. Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we know not where You go. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way." This is what He's declaring in these simple things. If you've seen Me, you know the Father. If you see, you know Me, you know salvation. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. If you had known Me, you should have known My Father also. And from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him. Do we have to continually be taught? We have to continually be taught. Here's Philip. Been with Him. Heard Him. Been taught by Him. Now listen to Philip. Philip said to Him, "Lord, show us the Father and it'll suffice us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? He that has seen Me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of Myself, but the Father that dwelleth in Me, He doeth the works. Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for the very works' sake." That's what He has to continually show us. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Now go back there to John 8 and look at verse 30. He says, "As He spake these words, many believed on Him." Many believed on Him. These words that He spake, these words ought to just, it ought to just fill us so full and just have our heart just overflow it, that this is the most profound thing we've ever heard right here. And do we not just hear this and it's just too simple for us, isn't it? We need to see a picture. We need to see a type. We need to see. We can glory in the picture and the types and not glory in the one they typify. We got to hear some enthusiastic preaching. You got to put on a charismatic show. We can get carried away with the preacher and miss the Christ He's preaching. But you see, there was some there. Now, we're going to see later that many of them didn't believe. But wherever our Lord spoke the word in power, there were some that saw Him, and seeing Him, they saw God the Father. And they believed it. And their hearts was overflowing. I've seen God. I've seen salvation. I've seen the way. I've seen the truth. I've seen the life. I've seen the One who's all my righteousness. I've seen the One who's heaven. I've seen heaven. Oh, if he speaks this, we'll believe him. And he can just take these simple 3 or 4 words and just make the heavens open up to you. I see him. I see God. I believe him. Saved by him. If you know the Father, know the Son. If you believe the Father, believe on the Son. And believing on him, we shall be saved from our sins. We shall be saved from our sin. Let's go to him. Father, what a blessed revelation you've given to your people, that you sent your only begotten Son, sent him in our flesh so that we can behold him work these works and see all these things he accomplished for us as the Son of Man. But even more important, Lord, you gave us faith. You gave us spiritual eyes to know him, to believe him, to know he is God our Savior. Thank you, Father, that you reveal these things unto babes. You've hidden them from the wise and prudent. Don't let us become hardened, and don't let us become complacent. Make these words ever new to us. Make us rejoice because it's your word speaking into our heart. Take these words and make them life in our heart. Make us behold Christ and find that he truly is that life. Lord, thank you that you sent your Son. We ask you to work your will. We ask you to glorify your name. And we know you will hallow your name in our midst, in the hearts of your people. Lord, we ask you to continue to do this. Protect us. Hedge us about. Make your people to look only to you. Make us find our joy and our peace and our comfort in Christ alone. Lord, we ask you today to truly give us another glimpse. Give us another crumb from your table. Be with your people everywhere. Be with our brethren that are here and those that are not here. Those that are sick and in troubles. Oh, how we thank you, Lord. The same Savior that walked this earth now sits in glory, knowing everything we need, knowing how to comfort us, having all the power to do it. Lord, we ask you now, be with us. Turn us to you. Keep us looking to you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, and all this free forgiveness and salvation we have in Christ. Forgive us, Lord, for our sin. Forgive us for our flesh, our unbelief, forgive us for being sinners. Thank you, Lord, for Christ's sake. In his name we ask these things. Amen.